I think it's my turn to come up. I asked not to have a podium because I'm so short. So anyways, here's what I do. I'll give my introduction here in a minute, but real quick, anytime I go speak somewhere else, I always ask, Lord, what do you want to do? Who do you want to minister to? And sometimes I don't get anything. Sometimes I get something. So I just really felt like this morning I want to start off by, if somebody needs prayer, I don't want to pray with anybody. It's kind of my rule in life. I'm just kidding. But if you need prayer this morning, what I want you to do, and I know you have prayer workers, and if you're a prayer worker today, I don't want you to do what I'm getting ready to ask everybody else to do. I love the parts of Jesus where he was constantly interrupted. He was walking on the street, and there's this blind Bartimaeus starts screaming, Jesus, have mercy on me. And everybody's telling Bartimaeus to just be quiet. And Jesus just kind of stops, and he goes, tell him to come here. Like, he took the time. There was a guy. He's like, my daughter's gone. Will you come raise her from the dead? What a tall ask, right? And Jesus is like, let's go. Woman with the issue of blood, Jesus is just minding his own business, just walking. She reaches out and touches him. Like, I think that I don't think we have time for this stuff in our society anymore. Nobody wants to take the time to listen. We're all just so busy, and we all just run. And when you go to the store, you think you're at the store to buy groceries or whatever. You're not. He has you there to do ministry. And I think I call these like that beautiful interruption. And this is the way Jesus just lived his life. The only time that he got annoyed when he was interrupted and when he was sleeping in the boat, because he was annoyed because his disciples should have done something about the storm. And he had to get woken up to do it. I always get annoyed when I get woken up from a nap. And so here's what I just thought, just praying this morning for you. I get up really early on Sunday mornings, and I just take time to pray, and I take time to go over my notes. But I just thought, hey, if somebody needs prayer today, what I want you to do, I just want you to stand up where you're at. I'm not going to have you come forward, and I just want you to stand up. Maybe it's been a tough week, and you need prayer for something. And if nobody stands up, man, I don't care. I love awkward silences anyways. But if you need prayer, just stand up real quick where you're at. Okay. All right, bunch of people, just stand up. We all need prayer, right? Nothing wrong with that. Is that it? I don't want to start before. I want to get, yeah, you, okay, you still popping up like popcorn. I love the late bloomers. They're like, all right, fine. So, okay, there's somebody with a baby. You need lots of prayer. I get it. I'm so thankful that baby doesn't go home with me. They're the worst, right? I had four of them. I'm like, man, we're praying for you extra this morning. Anybody else? I feel like this section's a little empty. You need prayer over in this area, anybody? All right, so here's what I want to do. If you're a prayer worker, do not pray with these people. Because it is your job to pray in this church as a prayer worker. I want to make everybody else uncomfortable. And so these people are standing. I want everybody else to just surround them, and I want you to pray for them. People that are standing, don't tell anybody what you need prayer for. We don't want to know. That's between you and God right now. I just want you to surround these people, and I want to take the next couple minutes, and I just want you to pray for them. So just stand up where you're at, go around these people, and begin to pray for them. Go, go. Not prayer workers, everybody else. It's your job as the body of Christ to pray with people. All right, go. And if you're watching online, just lift up your hand, stand up in your living room, and I'm going to pray for the people that's online right now. Ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we love you. We lift you up. We bring up every need to you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. God, we thank you that every need is met. Lord, that you mend the brokenhearted, that you help those, Father, who are hurting. Lord, that you will set free people who are bound up by addictions and relationships. Lord, that you will set free, oh, Lord, everybody who's held captive by anything. God, we thank you for physical healings in the room. Lord, if there's pain in the body, Lord, that you're ministering to their physical bodies. If there's people watching online, Lord, that they will begin to place their hand wherever there's pain, Lord. And we just pray that your healing power will flow through their body. Lord, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We love you and lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You're done praying. Sit back down. Good job. This is what it means to be the church. Not to be a church, we want to be the church. It is not your pastor and his wife's responsibility to pray for everybody. It is your responsibility to pray for people. Anyway, so that was my opening ministry time. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am, because some of you know me, some of you don't. As he said, I am Pastor Josh's best friend. He is my top 20, okay? I'm kidding. I have two men in my life. One is like a brother. He works with me. His name's Keith. And then your pastor is hands down my best friend. We talk on the phone. My wife asked me that. She goes, how often do you talk to him? And I was like, every day if I can. Sometimes I just call him and go, hey, what's up? And he goes, what's up? I go, nothing, man. Talk to you later. That's it. That's all I need. I just need to hear his voice. It's nice. I love this morning. I was getting to worship by myself up here. Your pastor and his wife are amazing. Like, you should clap for them. They are wonderful. Okay, you can stop clapping. So, but I love to pick on them as well. So I'm going to pick on Miss Anna right now. Is that okay? Is that okay? It's going to happen. I don't ask permission often. But as I was worshiping by myself down here, it was just nice, you know? Stephen leading us in worship. You got a great worship team. Man, wow. You're going to do a lot of clapping today. And then Anna comes, and she gets to worship beside me. And I'm just closing my eyes, and next thing I know, man, I got this going on. Like, I love how Anna worships. When I get to heaven, I'm going to worship the way Anna worships. She invades my, I just did this. And I had just had to, it was like four steps just to give her room, you know? If Anna's going to worship with you, give her room. Don't crowd her. Don't crowd her. Anyways, well, I want to tell so many stories about me and your pastor. We have a history like nobody else. I have hiked the Grand Canyon with him. I have went to Alabama Hills with him. We have went to conferences together. We have slept on the ground together, not in any weird way, I promise. And just so much. But I want to introduce you a little bit to my family, too, because I think I travel so much, and I normally go to, and I don't even speak at a lot of churches, but I travel and I do some other stuff with churches. But I like people to know who my family is, because sometimes it's just like, oh, it's weird that he travels by himself all the time. I do have a family, and here they are. I think we have a picture. Okay, here they are. So I have a daughter, she's my oldest daughter, 16, then I have my son, 14, my Cammy there, she is, I think she's 12, and this one's 10, or there'll be 12 and 10, something like that. And then my wife, and I know what you all are thinking, like, how in the world did she snag such a good-looking dude? You know, she tricked me in high school, and it's, you know, been that way ever since. And if you notice, I'm not wearing my wedding ring, so ladies, calm down, okay? But I cut a lot of wood this time of year, and it is not good to run a chainsaw and split wood with a wedding ring, and I forgot to put it back on when I travel. So just in the airport yesterday, I can't tell you how many women I had to fight off. It was exhausting. Yeah, right. I wish that's just not the case, though. It's funny. Your pastor, I think your pastor's like the best-looking pastor in the world. And we've been pastoring about the same amount of time, and I've started to lose my hair back here. You see it? It's so embarrassing. But I've gained hair on the back of my arms and my lower back. I do not like that. But I don't have a choice. I'm just like, the Lord's removing it here, and he's just placing it here. So why my wife still wants to be with me is beyond me, but... we are a 7, when he asked yesterday. I said, we're a 7. We got some work to do to get back up to that 9-10 status, so we're working. But your marriage is that way, too. It goes through ebbs and flows. It's not always a 10. That's okay. But I like to find my way back to a 10 when I can. Last thing I want to do is Dave DeBlaycourt. Is he in the room? Dave is not... in the building. Dave, are you there? Can you hear me, Dave? All right. Well, I'm gonna read a scripture about Dave. Can I do that? Dave is found in the Bible. Dave is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, he's coming. Dave! Dave! Dave, come up here, Dave. So I did this a little bit last time, but I found Dave in the Bible. And so I want to talk about Dave. Dave, how you doing? Dave, I got to be honest. Every time I show up, he is so nervous of what's going to come out of my mouth. I will say anything. I will do anything. And Dave is like, I hear him breathing right now. Poor Dave is nervous right now. But I found him in the Bible, and I just want to read it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And I want you to pay attention to this now. After that, miracles, then healings, helps, administration, and a variety of tongues. I want to look at the church for just a minute and go, man, these are the big ones. Like if a miracle was performed in this room, which when me up here preaching, probably not going to happen. But with Anna, Pastor Hammy, Pastor Josh, sorry, not Hammy. Like, miracle happens in the room, our mind is blown. A healing happens in the room, you know, and they're just putting up those big things, man, a variety of tongues that happens. We're just in awe of God. But I want you to look that it says administrations, and here's where we find Dave in the Bible. Like, I know your church better than you do, probably. Me and your pastor talk every day about the ins and outs of our church. And here's what I like to know about a church is that Dave administratively runs this church really, really well. And it is up there with miracles. It is up there with healings. It is up there with a variety of tongues. And if you don't have somebody like Dave behind the scenes doing the administration side, a church can't sustain itself. It can't remodel a building. It just can't function as a church. So when I see Dave in the Bible, I always get excited because I have a Dave too. And without that, man, a church really hurts. So Dave, I really felt like I was supposed to bring up here and just say, this is you in the Bible. And we can never discount it because I believe God knew what he was doing when he put it up there with miracles and signs and wonders and healings, that you have somebody on the administration side that has that gift. We run a church. I'm in a rural area. We have 5 campuses. On a Sunday morning, we have about 2,200 to 2,500 people. And I know this. Sometimes we'll call your church to ask Dave how you guys do things because he's so good at what he does. And so I just want to give a big round of applause for Dave. Can we do that? Thanks, man. See you, buddy. Hey, Dave, we have to do that next service, too, just so don't go too far. Anyways, go with me in your Bibles. Let's open up. You've heard enough about me. You know me a little bit now. Some of you were excited I'm here. Some of you were not. Either way, you got me. Go with me to your Bibles in Deuteronomy, and I actually want you to open your physical Bible, and I want you to turn there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm teaching my little daughter the books of the Bible, so I've learned to sing the books of the Bible. Let's go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Open your Bibles. Your pages should be turning. Don't show up to this church or any church without your physical Bible. It is just lazy to look at the screen or your phone. All right, that's too much. All right, let's look here. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp in advance. If I was to give you a scripture that I feel like is for my life, it is this passage. And James, you can leave it up there for just a minute. The Lord our God said to us, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp in advance. I really do believe there's some of you in your life that you've stayed here long enough, you've accepted something long enough, you've dealt with something long enough, and you need to stop whining about it, you need to stop complaining about it, you need to stop accepting it, and you need to break camp, and you need to advance. Like, that's just who we are. That's why I love this church so much, because I look at this church and I'm like, you do hard stuff. My church, we do hard stuff. We go into these communities and your pastor just laughs. He's like, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you find people because all there is cornfields. And he doesn't understand why our corn, we don't eat our corn or our beans. We harvest them, we plant them, and that's all you see up by me is corn and beans. And he's like, why don't we eat it? I was like, well, you eat sweet corn. You don't eat that corn. That corn's used for other things. He's like, what? I'm like, I don't have time. We drink raw milk. Gross, right? Like, we do hard things. Look at this building. I remember when he showed me this building, and I thought, wow, too much. Too much. Like, I had to send people here to help him finish it. Too much. I sent a group of, like, five guys to sand these floors. I think that's all they did. But look at it now. You have the coolest church that I've ever seen. And I've been to some. You really do. It's amazing. Your pastor, man, he can hike anything. He hikes the Grand Canyon like a champ. He has a pace that is unhealthy. I couldn't keep up. I would literally throw rocks at him to slow down. I carry a little more weight than he does, and that's just me. But we just do hard things. And I think sometimes we just accept where we're at in life and we stay there. But we need to break camp in advance. But here's the problem. If we decide to do this, if we decide to break camp in advance, there's going to be two temptations you're going to have. One, you're going to want to quit. It's just part of it. I don't know, how many of y'all have you just wanted to quit? Like, some of y'all in your marriage, you're sitting beside your spouse right now and you just want to quit. 50% of marriages end in divorce. Some of you are on your second marriage. Second marriages, 70% of them end in divorce. Third marriages, 85% of third marriages end in divorce. Like, it's better to get it right the first time. Quit being a quitter. Like, in life, just, you're going to be tempted to quit. Your pastor and I, we've sat on the phone and cried with each other because we wanted to quit pastoring. More times than one. Not in the last couple years. We've grown. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't do that 1 to 10 in the early days of pastoring. It was like, oh, it's a -5. People are so awful. Why are they so mean? Like, man, you just want to quit. I think about the woman with the oil. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. Verse 2. It says, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? And she said, he says this. He says, tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing. I want to stop right there. Notice her voice. She doesn't see anything of value in her life. And she just says, I have nothing. I have nothing. I think we all get to this point at some place where we're just like, I have nothing. I've got nothing. I don't know what else to do. And then she goes on to say, except this little jar of oil. That's all I got. She had given up hope. She had given up that things were going to get better. And she said, but all I have, listen, I'll tell you this. If all you have is a little breath in your lungs, God has something in store for you. Like, if all you have is a little hope, he has something in store for you. If all you have is a little dream, if all you have is a little something, he can work with it. But don't quit. Don't quit. We went out for a team outing the other day. Our staff went to this place, and we did like a little challenge course. And there was a young lady with us, and she was struggling with some of the courses. And she'd mess up, but she'd get back and start over. She'd mess up and she'd get back and she'd start over. And I called her later that night and I said, hey, I just want to tell you, I am so proud of you. Because so many times you fell, but you kept getting back up and you kept persevering and you kept pushing through. I said, you didn't quit. I said, we are defined when we quit. But if we won't quit, that'll never define who we are. We just keep pushing and we keep persevering. And when you see, I just got nothing except something small, what did God do with her little jar of oil? He multiplied it. And she had so much oil, she poured it till she ran out of jars. How amazing is that? But you're going to be tempted to quit in life. You're going to be tempted to quit on that business. You're going to be tempted to quit at your job. You're going to be tempted to quit everywhere. Don't quit. The second thing you're going to be tempted to do is you're going to be tempted to camp. You know, I think in the good seasons, we want it to last forever. In those perfect seasons of life that when you find that sweet spot, you're like, man, I just want to stay right here. It is good. It is nice. Let's live here forever. You know what I found, though, is I've never met anybody great who lived just a good life. The greatest people I've ever met, they went through really hard times, and they've climbed mountains, and they've went through valleys. And God was able to sustain them the entire way through. But it seems like we want to camp when it's good. And some of you all, you've just given up, so you're just camping in the bad. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You were never meant to camp anywhere. You're supposed to keep going. Now, I love camping. Let me tell you a little bit about my growing up. I grew up on I'm an extremely social person. I grew up at a campground. My parents owned it, and so everybody was my best friend. Every camper out there, their only job was to be there to feed me and to care for me. And if I saw a campfire, I would just go to it, and I would always assume they wanted me there. Looking back, probably not. But I'm so comfortable around people because I grew up at a campground. So I told Pastor Josh I was going to say this. I'm a little white trash, too. I'm really not ashamed of that, but I grew up at a campground. So here's why I believe that. Because we would put up those lights that go on your awning. That's as white trash as it gets. And what's funny is my parents put it on their actual house, which is even worse. So anyway, that's kind of how I grew up. I grew up camping. Now I hate camping. I don't ever want to camp. I'm going out west this year. Pastor Josh was telling me about the tents he's going to put up. I got a hotel every night. I hate camping. But here's what we want to do in life. We just want to camp. There's a story in the Bible in Matthew. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Story in the Bible in Matthew where actually Peter wanted to camp. Peter wanted to camp, and it's in Matthew 17. We're going to start reading in verse 1. It says this, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as a white light. And there, behold, appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Before I read the next part, I want you to realize what's happening. Here, Jesus took up Peter, James, and John to see this crazy miracle. And here he ends up seeing a conversation between Elijah and Moses and Jesus. And here he's just watching it going, this is awesome. Like what he's seeing was blowing her mind. So here's what Peter wanted to do. If you look at verse 4, it said, and Peter said to him, Lord, it's good that we are here. I love this. I love that Peter sees this and he reminds God, hey, it's good that I'm here. I'm just like, Peter, be quiet. You have nothing to add here. Just stop talking. And he goes on to say this. He said, if you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He wanted to set up a camp because he loved where he was at. He wanted to set up a camp and he wanted to live here forever. I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ, I'm in the presence of Moses, and I'm in the presence of Elijah. This is where I want to stay. We are all going to be tempted to find a place to camp. This is where I want to stay. But I want to look at how God dealt with Peter. If you look in verse 5, it says, while he was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. I want you to get this picture. I want you to pretend like you're there and Peter's talking. Hey, it's good that I'm here. It's pretty awesome that I made it. Well, why don't you let me build something for you all here? And God didn't even acknowledge he was speaking. He just put a cloud over him. This is God's way of saying, shut up, Peter. He silenced him with a cloud. And then God spoke, hey, this is my son. Peter, be quiet. Stop talking and pay attention to what you're seeing. Because you're not supposed to camp here. And right after that, Jesus taps Peter and he says, arise, let's go. And I believe that that's what Jesus is doing with you and me today. Is he's tapping you on the shoulder and he's saying, get up from where you've camped. Get over the place where you just want to quit. And he's tapping you on the shoulder and he's saying, arise and come with me. You see, the temptations that we have when we're supposed to break camp and leave, the temptation that we have is that we want to quit and then we want to camp, but we have to advance. We have to climb. We have to push. And I'll tell you this, the climb is always worth it. It's hard. I remember when I went to the Grand Canyon with your pastor. He took me, and we like the outdoors, but we like the outdoors very, very differently. He likes to hike, and he likes to go on these grand adventures. I like to sit by a fire, and I like to kill animals. I'm a hunter. He won't even go down to my hunting cabin and see it. He did because he was just being nice, but he hates hunting. But we like the outdoors and just different. But I remember he took me down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I'll tell you this, the view is better from the top. He's like, you're going to love Hans Rapids. All I could think of when I was at the bottom of the Grand Canyon was, I have to get out of here. And I'll be honest, I didn't want to. I was like, man, how can I figure out for a helicopter to airlift me out of here? Like, there was a girl who got stuck in the rapids while we were there. And I thought, man, if they bring a helicopter down to get her, I'm going to hitch a ride and like just be like, I'm her cousin. I'm going to pray with her. Because I'm at the bottom. Man, when you're at the top looking down, you're like, oh, my goodness, it's beautiful. When you're at the bottom looking up, you're like, oh, my, I got to get out of here. How? It takes one day to get down. It takes like 6 hours to get down. It takes like 100 hours to hike out. And I remember that morning, he said, hey, we're going to get out of here early. I remember he came and he hit my tent and he said, hey, get up, man. We got to get going. I just thought, no way. But it was him saying it's time to advance. If we're ever going to get out of here, we can't stay down here. It's going to get hot. We need to get in the shade of the rocks. It's going to get painful. We need to get to the drip. I didn't know what the drip was, but at some point you run out of water and there's a little drip you have to fill up water with. But if you don't advance, you'll never see it. If you don't advance, you'll never get there. If you try to stay at the bottom, you'll never see what God has for you at the top. If you end up quitting, you'll never see the end result. But my goodness, when I got to the top, when I finally got cell phone signal again, I called my wife. I FaceTimed her and I just cried. And I was like, I missed you. At that moment, we were at 10. I was like, I missed you. But man, you have to advance. And I look at life the same way. And I want to encourage you, this is a church. Some of you, you just come and sit. You just come and chill. You think, man, our building's cool. We got a good pastor. Worship's nice. And some of you need to advance. You need to start plugging in. Christian, how many kids workers could you use right now? 30 kids. She ain't kidding. 30 kid workers. Everybody loves that we have kids church, but nobody wants to volunteer there. Break your camp in advance. I tell my kids all the time, that baby in the back, hold up that baby like Simba. Hold it up. Everybody see it. You see what that baby does? That baby is amazing. But do you know what that baby brings to the table at this church? Nothing. We have to do everything for that baby. We have to feed it. We have to change its diaper. They're so annoying. But man, when that baby grows up, that baby's going to volunteer in kids' church. When that baby grows up, I tell my kids all the time, until you start contributing, you don't have a say. Until you start contributing, you don't have an opinion. As long as I'm buying the food, I choose where we eat. Come on. If you're in this church, it's time to break your camp and it's time to advance. You can't just sit there anymore, because I know the visions that your pastor have for this area and this church. And this is just the beginning. It's so funny. Sometimes I think after 20 years, like, we've arrived. And I look at him and I look at me and I'm like, no, we're just getting started. We have just now built the foundation. Now we can build something really awesome. But you're going to have to advance with us. Some of you might quit along the way. I hate that for you. Some of you might just stay camped where you're at. I hate that for you. But you've stayed here long enough. It's time to break camp. It's time to advance. In your life, and in this church, and in your job, and in your marriage, and in your parenting, you've stayed here long enough. And mediocre is not what God has for you. He has his best. You might have to climb a mountain to get there, but man, on top of that mountain lies his best. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for this church. And so this is a message that I'm preaching at all my campuses. I go to a different campus every month, and I preach this message. I mean, my heart is this for you, just like it is for my church. You stayed here long enough, break camp, and advance. Can you do that for me? Like, find ways to do it. Christian's going to have at least 15 cards of people volunteering and kids. We're going to have people getting plugged into this church. Nobody said amen to that. Did you hear that, Christian? Somebody else is going to do that. I'm going to break camp in the greeters. We have enough greeters, okay? Break camp, advance, because God has some amazing things to do in this church. Amen?